The baptism of the Lord, year ABC, first week in ordinary time. The first reading from the book of prophet Isaiah. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nation. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not fail or be discouraged till he had established justice in the earth. And the cold land wait for his law. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nation, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoner from the dungeon, from the reason those who sit in the darkness. The second reading according to Acts. And Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is the law of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The Gospel, year A, according to Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and that you are coming to me. Jesus said to him in reply, allow it now, for that it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heaven was opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of Zebi, according to Mark. And he preached, saying, after me come he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heaven open and the Spirit descend upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased. The Gospel of Jesus according to Luke. Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their heart, whether John might be the Messiah? John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thong of his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all, the people have been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized when we were praying. Heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Sharing of the reading, first the theme. Christ is chosen to execute God's plan of salvation. In God's providence, he didn't do everything, but chose different people to participate in his plan of salvation. Though he chose, he also bestowed all necessary grace so that they can fulfill the mission he entrusted to them. Today's reading centralizes on God's most important choice, which is the selection of Christ to execute God's plan of salvation. We shall first study this selection and then apply to God's selection of us to do his will. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah was permitted by God to see clearly his selection of the suffering servant. This is the person who is loved by God because he is always faithful to God and to fulfill his plan of salvation. The way he fulfilled his mission is also exceptional and different with people's popular way. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A prurient reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. In the second reading, the author reminded the faithful to reveal Christ's life in order to learn his way of fulfillment God's plan of salvation. How he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In the Gospel, St. Mark reported that what happened in Christ's baptism. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heaven open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased. Let's study all three readings in detail to find out the importance for our life. Second analysis. First reading. God's suffering servant. Third point. The relationship between God and the suffering servant. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words about the suffering servant. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nation. Who is the suffering servant whom Isaiah mentioned here? There are at least three opinions. First, some say it is the Israelites as a whole, because they are God's chosen people. Secondly, some think it is Cyrus, the Persian king who obeyed God to set the Israelites free. Last, some believe he is Christ, because none was loved by God more than his beloved son. According to Targum, the translation of Hebrew scripture to Aramaic and Greek, the suffering servant is the Messiah. The third opinion has more weight. Moreover, the content of the passage also implies the suffering servant is an individual, not a nation. God can choose anyone to fulfill King Cyrus' duty, but to fulfill his plan of salvation, there is only one, his son, who can fulfill his plan. Second point, the way of salvation of the suffering servant. Isaiah described this way as follows. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not fail or be disguised till he had established the justice in the earth, and the cold lands wait for his law. There is a harmony between God and the suffering servant in their way to bring about the final result, which is love, truth, and faith. This way is completely different with human way of governing, which uses threat, force, and secret plans. Third point, the suffering servant mission. The Lord said, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nation, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison door who sit in the darkness. The suffering servant is the covenant between God and people. In Sinai covenant, Moses was only the mediator of the covenant between God and his people. In the new covenant, the suffering servant is the covenant. This means all blessings of the covenant are begun and given from this suffering servant. To welcome him is to receive blessing, and to deny him is to refuse blessing, because without him there is no blessing. The suffering servant is the light to the nation. Parallel with the position, the covenant is the position, the light to the nation. This means not only he is the one who brings light or the one who guides people to light, but also he himself is the light. The light is the salvation. Isaiah 49 verse 6. The Gentiles who are sitting in the darkness of sin and death, he came to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Second reading. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Third point. God's plan of salvation included both the Jews and the Gentiles. The author of this letter, after was revealed by Christ about the plan of salvation, testified, truly, I perceive that God showed no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fear him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the war which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. The Lord which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, begin from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Only such kind of plan guarantee God's justice and mercy. Second point. Christ persecuted God's plan of salvation. The author continued, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The Gospel. Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased. The Gospel of GA, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Third point. The absurdity. Only Matthew highlighted John Baptist's denial when Jesus asked John Baptist to baptize him. He said to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you, and that you are coming to me. Jesus said to him in reply, allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. First of all, we need to understand the historical background of this event. The Judaism Jews did baptism to show the repentance of sin, but only for the Gentiles who want to convert to Judaism. The Jews never think of receiving this baptism. But many Jews came to John Baptist to receive the baptism by him. This is a strange event. They might feel that the Messiah is coming and John Baptist preaching urged them to repent in order to receive the salvation. John told them, do not presume to say to yourself that we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. Jesus would like to use this opportunity to show himself that he is the Messiah whom they are looking for. Second point. The Father witnessed for Christ. Matthew reported, after Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove coming up on him, and a voice came from the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. In Matthew, it is the Father who witnessed his relationship with Christ for people. In Mark, the Father directly said to Jesus and indirectly witnessed his relationship with Christ for people. The Gospel of GB according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 7 to 11. Third point. There is a big difference between Jesus' baptism and John's baptism. John Baptist differentiated between the two baptisms as follows. After me come he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John Baptist baptism is done by a man. Its purpose is for the repentance of sin. It is not for the forgiveness of sin, because no man has power to forgive sin. Jesus' baptism is done by God, the one who is mightier than man. The one who received his baptism shall receive the forgiveness of sin, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and receive all necessary grace. The second point. What happened in Jesus' baptism? St. Mark reported briefly this event as follows. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heaven opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." Why did Jesus receive baptism by John Baptist? John Baptist baptism is for the repentance of sin. Why did Jesus, who never commits sin, want to be baptized by John? Even John himself repented Jesus. "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for third it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. Matthew chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. Saint Ambrose gave us another reason. Christ, the Most Holy One, received the baptism to sanctify water of Jordan River. The Church uses this water to baptize the faithful. The Holy Spirit image of a dove. Jewish tradition uses the image of a dove for the meekness, as the prophet Isaiah described the suffering servant. He wins over people not by threatened words, nor by force, but by his love and patience. Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit to begin his public mission. The Father's voice from heaven. Mark report of the Father's voice was directly to the Son. "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." The Father directly said to his Son and expressed his pleasing of what the Son had done. Matthew report was directly to people at, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." If one studies carefully, one shall see Mark's report is closer with Isaiah than Matthew. The Gospel of Jesus, Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 16 and 21 to 23. The third point. The difference between Jesus and John Baptist. Luke reported as follows. Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Besides the difference between Jesus and John Baptist in power, John also mentioned the difference between the two baptisms. By water, this is John Baptist's baptism. He helps the people to repent and to repair them from the Messiah coming. By the Holy Spirit and fire, this is Jesus' baptism. Not only that, this baptism can forgive sins, but the Holy Spirit can also sanctify people by grace and gifts so that they can become virtuous and holy, worthy of God's children. Second point. Other highlights of Luke's account. First, Jesus prayed when he was baptized. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and were praying, heaven were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." In Luke's Gospel, Jesus is always unified with the Father in prayer. Second, the relationship between the Father and Jesus. Luke emphasized the relationship between the Father and the Son. All Madrid versions have the Father witness, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." One version had a strange idea when it said, "Today I have begotten you." This must be the Gnostic correction, because these people believe that Jesus was adopted by God at his baptism. Application in life. If one of us receives right baptism, which means we are anointed to be a priest, a prophet, and a king, do we fulfill our duty? Three missions of Christ are also our three duties. First, the prophetic mission. Do we talk about God to people, at least to those who we have obligation to, for example, our children? In order to fulfill his duty, Christ spent 30 years to have conversation with his Father before he began his public ministry in 3 years. How much time did we spend to learn about God and Christ? We need to remind ourselves that we cannot give to our children what we don't have. Second, the priestly mission. Do we worship God above all things? Do we set good example and show our children the way to God? Or we are indifferent in worship and prayer? When we spend too much time for working to earn money, we are teaching our children to worship mammon instead of the only one God. The kingly mission. Do we use God's time, talent, and fortune to serve God and others? Or we are wasting our time, talent, and fortune on gambling, drinking, and illegal relationship, so that we and our family must be suffered? Moreover, we must also examine the way we use to serve people. Do we use love, patience, teaching, and encouraging instead of blaming, threatening, scorning, power, and force? Amen.